Good afternoon and welcome aboard. Happy Wednesday to you. John McGinnis with you, News Radio KPK. Hope you're having a great day. Boy, it's, you can feel a little change in the air out there. The breeze is blowing. It's still a nice warm day, but it's not the, the smoke's gone, and the what some would refer to as the stifling heat seems to be gone. Humidity certainly better, so it's a beautiful day in Sacramento. I hope you're enjoying it. And we got a lot of things to kick around this afternoon, as we so often do. This is an interesting thing, and maybe you've heard about this. Maybe you've had a lot of chance to think about it and process it and discuss it. It's been on my stack to get to for several days now. In fact, all week. But so many other things going on, I haven't had a chance to get to it. And the timing of this, I think, is very, very interesting. This was announced last Friday. And, of course, we were in the middle of just terrible events taking place in Florida and throughout the South Gulf Coast. So that sucked a lot of the oxygen out of the room in terms of the coverage, media coverage, and the attention that this, I think, did not get. And I'll weigh in on this a little bit, too, as we work our way through the conversation as to why I believe some of these kinds of stories are not getting much attention. But it has to do with Lois Lerner. Remember Lois Lerner? She was the executive at the Internal Revenue Service who, I think, was caught just overwhelmingly in a position of compromise. She got caught being dishonest. She got caught being part of a group that was, I believe, abusing the authority of the government in an extraordinary way by making decisions about what would be a tax-exempt effort versus what would not be based upon political, social, philosophical ideology versus the rule of law. And her rather snide, I thought, snarky testimony before Congress during the hearings, I thought was reprehensible. And many, many people were aghast at the fact that she was allowed to get away with that. She was the center of the 2013 political targeting scandal, if you remember that. And there was a lot of promises made during the course of the campaign as to what would be done with the likes of Lois Lerner after the election. I think her conduct, it's beyond a gray area in terms of the prima facie evidence of criminality that she displayed throughout the course of illegitimate questions asked of her under oath. And by the way, she is an officer of the court. She's an attorney. It's not as though she could feign a lack of knowledge, which is not unto itself an excuse anyway. But she's she knows better. And I thought she just got caught overwhelmingly with her hand in the cookie jar. Reprehensible conduct, terrible conduct, abusive people because of their political ideology. Again, promises made. New administration, new attorney general, new world. But guess what? Last Friday it was announced that she would not face prosecution for her transgressions. That was the official information that came out last Friday. Again, of course, it's kind of a document dump on a Friday before a weekend in which there is tremendous attention in terms of media coverage and information focused on something other than government itself. Pretty good distraction. Not a bad time to dump something that you don't want to be maximized in terms of coverage. Well, this has angered some folks. Many folks who know about it, but my sense is most people don't. It has not gotten the kind of attention, as I say, that it otherwise would. However, Representatives Kevin Brady of Texas and Peter Roskam of Illinois, who sit on the powerful House Ways and Means Committee, issued a statement last Friday, blasting the Department of Justice and Attorney General Jeff Sessions' deeply flawed, that's their term, decision to not prosecute Lerner criminally. The language goes like this. I have, and I quote, I have the utmost respect for Attorney General Sessions, but I'm troubled by his department's lack of action to fully respond to our requests and deliver accountability. Today's decision does not mean Lois Lerner is innocent. It means the justice system in Washington is deeply flawed. That was the writing of Kevin Brady, the Texas congressman, ally of the president, Republican in the same team, but overtly critical, clearly, of the decision in this by the president's attorney general. Mr. Roskam, the chairman of the tax policy subcommittee, called Sessions' announcement as, quote, a miscarriage of justice. He went on to say, or to write, I should say, the decision to not prosecute Lois Lerner is a miscarriage of justice. On top of Ms. Lerner's actions against taxpayers, denying tax-exempt status to groups for political gain, and failing to protect taxpayer information, the department's response blatantly ignores our most troubling finding, that Ms. Lerner intentionally misled federal investigators in a flagrant violation of law. He goes on, our democracy is injured when those who taxpayers entrust with great authority ignore the law to advance their own political agenda without repercussion. Pretty strong language from people who are members of the same party as the administration. Is there a reason for it? Do you think there's some greater good that is perceived to come from this? We know that the president has been meeting with his two new best friends, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. So maybe that's part of ongoing negotiations with Chuck and Nancy to try to cut deals. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that there are a tremendous number of unfilled federal court judges that need to be filled, and that the president wants to have filled with people of his choosing, and he needs to cut deals to make that go away. For those of you who don't remember, Ms. Lerner was the head of the IRS division that oversaw tax-exempt groups when requests came from conservative groups, began to receive more scrutiny by the department at that time. And then Lerner acknowledged the improper handling of the applications in 2013, shortly before being put on leave by the IRS and eventually retiring. The Justice Department, again, looked at this back in 2015, and I thought it was disgusting and reprehensible at that time, and I thought it was a miscarriage of justice then when the Holder and Lynch DOJs wouldn't file. That was under former President Obama. But it was this year, this April, that Brady and Roskam wrote a letter specifically calling for an investigation. Of course, their belief, based upon their up close and personal knowledge of this, the developments, that she should be prosecuted for it. What do you think? Do you think that there may be a greater good to come from this? Do you think this is part of the swamp, the way things are done? You negotiate, you give up justice on this in exchange for perhaps tax cuts down the road. There's a tremendous benefit to come from tax cuts. I believe in that. I really, truly believe, especially corporate taxes are cut in short order. I think you'll see a spike to the overall economy that will benefit everybody. Do you think perhaps it's part of an effort to provide an opportunity to have those federal judicial seats filled by somebody of the president's liking? If so, is it worth it? So that's the poll question today. You'll find that question on the John McGinnis page at KFBK.com. Are you okay with Lois Lerner not being prosecuted, or do you think she should be prosecuted? Among the concerns I have, high on the list, is that this is an example to people that that the swamp is alive and well, that you can flaunt the law, that you can, in very, very, very profound ways, in the public square, violate the law, be dishonest in responses when you're queried about it, all the while executing an enormous amount of responsibility and trust that the public has given you, and be held harmless. That's part of the concern I have. You got thoughts? 916-921-1530, 800-834-1530. Much more conversation coming up after this. Don't go away.
Sacramento's news, traffic, and weather at the top and bottom of every hour. News Radio KFBK.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying on board. John McGinnis with you, News Radio KFBK, talking about Lois Lerner. And I'll play some sound for you in a little bit just to kind of refresh your memory if you don't recall the overall tone and nature of her testimony. And just by way of background, she was in charge of the program within the IRS that made rather critical decisions with regard to what was a nonprofit and what was, what wasn't and what was. And she treated very, very, very poorly, and this is not my opinion, this is disclosed factual information, treated very poorly those groups that had a right lean to them, a conservative lean. Anything associated with the Tea Party, for example, was shut down. not given a chance. There was some very persuasive testimony from people who got these programs going and worked diligently trying to exercise their appropriate citizen role in democracy, and just treated absolutely horribly by Ms. Lerner and her staff. And then there was no accountability. Promises were made during the campaign as to what would happen with the lowest learners of the world. And it wasn't just candidate Trump, it was others. This was very much the expectation. I can tell you that it's my belief, my perception, that people were abused by the federal government under her leadership. And there's evidence to support that. I would say very, very persuasive evidence to support that. Yet it's all been shelved now. And the determination to not file on this has angered some people within the president's party, some who have been supportive of him, and some who play a very, very significant role in government, in the Ways and Means specifically. Let's get your call, shall we? 916-921-1530, 800-834-1530. What do you want to see happen? What would be your choice with Ms. Lerner? Let's get your calls. Let's check in with George in Sacramento. George, good afternoon, sir. Welcome to the conversation.
Sheriff, George speaking, a first-time caller, and I completely agree with you. I would say my political philosophy is more libertarian, or maybe even a little more democratic. But the point is that that organization she worked for invokes a lot of fear in people's
yes.
hearts.
Yeah, by the way, I appreciate you pointing that out, because it doesn't matter. This cuts both ways, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, if I had my druthers, and I work in state government, and I've had the pleasure of being given the public's trust in a position given and executing my duties, and I do it with honesty and integrity, and I think people like her, I think there should be an effort made to strip her of her pension completely. I think she basically she lost the ability to enjoy that benefit if she did what she did.
Yeah,
and I agree with you. The evidence is there.
I think the evidence is overwhelming. I think it's a mountain of evidence. And
I agree with you, and I'm just disheartened that the Attorney General is not pursuing this. But I have a feeling other parties are going to pursue it, whether it's legislatively or even on a local level. You know, working in the arm of law enforcement, you're under incredible scrutiny.
Yeah.
And you know that when you chip away that public trust, you know, the result is anarchy. And that's what, you know, this is an entity that basically collects the revenue for the federal government. And if you start getting people to mistrust that, then you're going to start seeing other unintended impacts.
Hey, there are not a lot of institutions or people that can send me mail that would cause my heart rate to fluctuate, but the IRS is one of them. And
absolutely. We have to respect those pillars, but at the same time, they have to respect us back.
Absolutely. That's very, very, very well said. And again, I very much appreciate the fact that you disclose that this is not a matter of partisan interest to you, and I would hope that you would feel as I do, that somebody who legitimately represented a philosophy or attitude or political ideology 180 degrees apart from mine, if it falls into the category where it's a nonprofit activity, by all means, that should be treated with the proper accord. It's not based upon what I think is right. It's based upon what the rule of law calls for. And it's not just the way she executed the duties of her office, but the way she behaved before Congress when she was being asked about it.
It was absolutely arrogant. I watched that. I mean, and the thing, John, and I know you're thinking the same thing I am. I mean, okay, these are tax-exempt political organizations. Well, where does it stop? What about religious-based organizations? What about all those other entities? What about charitable groups?
Absolutely.
All these great component pieces of our society that really sets the United States apart from a lot of other countries in terms of the freedom that we have to enjoy, our philosophies.
As you look at the events in Texas and Florida, respectively, in the last couple of weeks, and you look at some of the organizations that really rose to the occasion and did extraordinary work, many of them are charitable organizations that enjoy a tax-exempt status, but they have a philosophy as a component of what they do that may be spiritual, may be some other philosophical interest, maybe part of a particular religious denomination. And if that doesn't match with the views of the persons making decisions as to their legitimacy, that can cripple that whole concept. So I think it's, again, as you said it very, very well, it matters not what the philosophy or attitude is, the simple reality is they should be treated properly. Appreciate the call very much, George. We shall take care of some other business very quickly. We've got more good calls to get to us. Be patient with me. Don't go away. Come.
Today on the KPK Afternoon News, recovering from those hurricanes and the donations coming in to help. The Afternoon News, 4 to 7 today on News Radio KPK.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying on board. John McGinnis with you, News Radio KPK, talking about this Lois Lerner situation. And I'm getting notes, texts, emails from folks who had heard nothing about this. By the way, some people that are very much in tune with what's going on in the news, but this was all overshadowed when it was announced last Friday that no charges would be forthcoming against Lois Lerner. And again, I think as time has passed, her name has been pushed out of the fore. And people may have, in general, forgotten about her. But I thought her conduct, I believed, and again, not based on any preconceived notion about her, because I don't know the woman, but her conduct in the course of her testimony before Congress, and it is testimony, it was sworn testimony, was so reprehensible, so indicative of a lack of truthfulness from her perspective, that it screams, I believe, for justice to be the ultimate outcome and a consequence that she should feel. This case is done. The damage is done in terms of what she did to people who were simply trying to exercise their First Amendment rights and keep their resources. But what about the next time? What about today and tomorrow and into the future, where people may be tempted to behave in the same fashion and feel with good reason that they're going to have no consequences for it, because there's a precedent now where she has been held harmless for absolutely abusing the authority of the government against individuals and organizations comprised of individuals, citizens, trying to do what they believed right, and being pushed back by somebody who's got the authority, the full force and authority of the federal government. Could there be a greater example of abuse that doesn't involve the actual touching of a person? I don't think so. Here's what she had to say when she offered some testimony before Congress.
I have not done anything wrong. I have not broken any laws. I have not violated any IRS rules or regulations, and I have not provided false information to this or any other congressional committee. And while I would very much like to answer the committee's questions today, I've been advised by my counsel to assert my constitutional right not to testify or answer questions related to the subject matter of this hearing. After very careful consideration, I've decided to follow my counsel's advice and not testify or answer any of the questions today. Because I'm asserting my right not to testify, I know that some people will assume that I've done something wrong. I have not. One of the basic functions of the Fifth Amendment is to protect innocent individuals, and that is the protection I'm invoking today. Thank you.
Well, you conclude for yourself, by the way, as I think it's worthy of reiterating, that she, Ms. Lerner, is herself a trained lawyer. So her lack of ability to testify effectively as to her performance, her behavior, her decision making in a very, very critical role in the federal government, I think she should not be presumed guilty because of her invoking her Fifth Amendment right. That is her right. But the totality of her testimony and evidence brought forth by people who had been allegedly harmed by her behavior, I think speak volumes. And I'm deeply disappointed that she's not being prosecuted. Perhaps there is a greater good to be realized from it, and that's the philosophy. There's a lot of collaboration across party lines right now, so maybe this is part of that. Perhaps we'll find out. Let's get your calls. 916-921-1530, 800-834-1530. Let's check in with Ann in Chico. Ann, good afternoon. Welcome to the conversation. Thank you for holding on.
Good afternoon, John. I just find it very difficult, and it's been a confusing 8 years and going into the new administration, how people feel that do have, say, drunk driving, say, marijuana, I don't know, say things against them right now. I think people are finding it difficult. Why don't I get a pass?
Yeah.
I mean, I did something wrong.
Well, and it's very common for people to point to the transgressions of others without consequence to justify their own misconduct. And that's a common factor. I think we've all seen evidence of that. But your point's well taken. This is, if you think about it, with the exception of a case in which the government actually puts hands on people and harms their physical being, I can't think of a greater abuse of governmental authority than what Ms. Lerner's conduct represents. And she's walking away from this with a pension, and she's absolutely held harmless. I find that shocking and really truly cause for serious disappointment. So I appreciate the call very much, Ann. And I share your beliefs. It's not just this case. As is most often the case when you have criminal charges to be considered, the damage in this case has been done. It's the influence, the impact that it has on others who may be inclined to behave in the same or similar fashion. That's what's problematic from my perspective. Let's check in with Lewis in East Sacramento. Lewis, good afternoon. Welcome to the conversation, sir. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks, John. You know, there was a time in our not-too-distant past when public officials had to be put in the stocks or whatever, where they put their hands and your head in a blocking device, and people could throw cabbages and tomatoes, whatever else they wanted to. You know, not that we would stoop to that anymore, but somebody in her position needs to be held accountable to the public. I mean, I don't think she lives at some, you know, regular little neighborhood where she comes and goes and interacts with the public. I believe she lives in one of those elitist Washington neighborhoods with gates and only sees people that agree with her. And I think part of the frustration and the anger is she gets away with this without ever feeling the anger and the absolute frustration she's brought on us. And I think with that, I really do think that's part of the problem with Washington, D.C. is the isolation that they have from the people who pay them. I did want to ask you one question.
Sure.
Lois Lerner's boss, there was a man that was also involved.
Koskinen, I think was his name.
What was his name?
Koskinen?
Yeah, you know, he was just as arrogant and as in-your-face as she was.
Yeah.
And I believe he was the director of the RNI.
He was. He was the chief executive. And you're right. I think his tone and attitude was equally reprehensible, but I don't think he had the hands-on interaction with taxpayers that she did. So I think, on balance, her conduct in terms of being despicable and in terms of overall deportment and demeanor, I think they're a match. But in terms of what was actually done to the public, I think she owns the rights on that one. It's a sad, sad, sad scenario.
Wasn't he basically brought into it that he basically condoned what she was doing? Or did So to me,
he offered nothing but arrogance and a lack of any kind of contrition for what was going on. And I think, it's shameful. Absolutely disgraceful. Hey, Lois, good to hear from you as always. I appreciate the call. Got to check in for one more before we take a quick break and go on to other business. Let's check in with John in Rockland. John, good afternoon, sir. Welcome to the conversation.
Well, thank you. Real quickly, I just, as I mentioned to the caller, I always knew about Lois. I've always been wanting to know what happened, and to hear this, it's sad. And as I told, this is kind of like a final nail in the coffin for me. I was going to say that I've lived in the Sacramento area for 35 years. In that time, I've been called to juries 9 or 10 times. I've sat on 5 or 6, but at this point, I will never sit on a jury again. Yeah. I will never raise my hand when they swear in a thing, because I think our legal system, this is a joke. It's supposed to be freedom, our justice for all, and I see none of it.
Well, I understand completely your feelings on it, and I share a big chunk of it, but I would just offer this one thought, John, and that is our system of justice relies heavily upon citizen involvement on the juries, and I know it can be frustrating. I understand that completely. But that's the only hope we have, is for people to accept that responsibility legitimately and serve. So I encourage you to rethink that if the time comes, and you sound like the kind of person I'd like to see on a jury. So appreciate the call very much. We're going to take care of some other business real quickly. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking to a gentleman from Texas that's got a unique program to tell us about. All that coming up right after this. Don't go away.
Stories. News Radio KFBK.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying on board. John McGinnis with you, News Radio KFPK. Good conversation on Lois Lerner. I encourage people to check that out and let your voice be known on the poll question. We couldn't get to all your calls because we have other business to attend to. But this, I think that is a major consideration in terms of justice and seeking justice and wanting justice, demanding justice. But now I want to talk with a gentleman from Texas, a retired police officer, Jimmy Meeks, who is now the owner of a program known as Sheepdog Seminars, and he is bringing his program, along with Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, who's familiar to the audience in this program, to Sacramento a week from this Saturday. And he's bringing some extraordinary guests with him, and I think it's going to be a compelling program to talk about life and death encounters and how you need to have the emotional state of mind and state of awareness sufficient to keep yourself alive and well in such an encounter. Jimmy, good afternoon, sir. Welcome to the conversation. Great to have you.
What an honor to be on, John. Greetings from the great state of Texas.
And obviously our thoughts have been with your state in the last couple of weeks. I'm hopeful that things are going well, certainly for the people in so tremendously affected in the South State and in Houston. I trust that things are going okay, at least.
Well, John, they're probably looking at 2 or 3 years. I've made 3 trips down there myself, taking goods, food, water, et cetera. I never have seen an 18-wheeler underwater, but I did 10 days ago.
Man.
And they're just beginning. I mean, when I left there a week ago, they were still rescuing people. You know, Houston's got close to 4 or 5 million people. And,
yeah.
And the work I did was 150 miles apart from each other. So it's a very long stretch of land and real estate that's been affected. But it's just gut-wrenching and heartbreaking. 200 Houston police officers are homeless. One of them died trying to get to work. That's just Houston. That's not counting the other police departments.
Senior guy, too. Well, tell us about what you have coming to Sacramento in another week and a half or so.
Well, John, we call it the Sheepdog Seminar, and it's a response to violence. A year ago, I was in downtown Dallas when they were having a protest there, and they were, I'm sure you remember what happened.
About
11 police officers were shot and 5 police officers killed. I went to that protest that night to listen to what they had to say, and you could tell, and I told myself, there's fixing to be some violence here. You could feel it in the air. And then an hour later, we've got 5 police officers dead, and that breaks my heart because I'm a 35-year police officer. So I'm bringing one of the officers out to Sacramento that got shot that night, Misty McBride. We're going to be in Fresno on the 22nd, and then Sacramento. And we're bringing Greg Stevens. You might remember a couple of years ago, somebody put on a Mohammed cartoon contest. Terrorists showed up from Arizona, and a traffic cop in Garland, Texas, took him out. And the president brought him to the White House, gave him the Medal of Valor. So we're going to bring him to California. And we're bringing Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. We're bringing Carl Chin. And one of the reasons we do this, John, is because we've already lost 57 people this year murdered on church and faith-based property, and probably over 2,000 sex crimes. Most people don't know that since 1999, over 750 people have died of violent death on church and faith-based property. That's going to be a higher number than schools, by the way. You're just as likely to die of violent death, you know, on faith-based property as you are a school.
That's incredible.
So I know it's unbelievable, and probably 2,000 or 3,000 sex crimes. Just 10 days ago in Kentucky, we left an area, and 2 weeks later down the road from where we were, a 70-year-old woman, a pastor's wife, brutally attacked inside the church, sexually assaulted and murdered. So this stuff is just heartbreaking. So the Sheepdog Seminar is about keeping the wolf off the flock. Now, John, you might have seen the movie American Sniper. You remember when the father talks to the children about wolves, sheep, and sheepdogs?
Yeah.
And they got that. Colonel Grossman gave them permission to use that. They got that from him. So we're coming out there. People can go to the website, Sheepdog Seminars, and we're hoping we'll get enough there. We're begging the police to come because of who we're bringing. And, of course, y'all have had your share of violence. And, you know, I'm trying to do this interview without crying because it just breaks my heart. What you're going through, we're going through. We've had 33 police officers gunned down by gunfire this year. 97, I believe, are dead this year. And it's just gut-wrenching. I didn't mean to call your program and cry.
No, I understand. It's been a tough period of time right here in this region. A significant number of officers shot. Thank God the vast majority have survived. We lost one. But as you look at the increase in incidents of extraordinary violence, life-threatening violence against law enforcement, certainly in this region, in the state of California, it's over the top. So one more time, where can people find this, Jimmy? Get the information. What's the website?
If they go to Sheepdog Seminars, sheepdogseminars.com, they can sign up and come on. We'll be there. We're going to show the movie Faith Under Fire Friday night at the church, the true story of the first church massacre in the country. But all the info is at the website, sheepdogseminars.com. And thank you, John, for caring.
You betcha. We have a huge law enforcement participation in this audience, and I assure you that you'll get a good response. Appreciate your time very much, Jimmy. All the best to you, my friend. And that's it for me, as you can tell by the sound of music. But stick around, because the lovely and talented Kitty O'Neill is coming up next with the afternoon news. I have the honor and privilege of coming back and seeing you tomorrow. Have a spectacular evening. So long.